Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Having a small vegetable garden is hard work. I am not one to talk because I do not have a green thumb. I probably have a black thumb. But if you're going to be committed to it, you have to consider the following issues. Do you have the time and commitment to figure out what you're going to do about squirrels, rabbits, deer, and insects, which can decimate and eliminate whatever tomatoes you planted? They're gone, despite all your hard work and effort. Of course, you're also dependent upon the proper amount of sunshine and rain. So if you have a dry summer, in addition to dealing with the critters, you have to water consistently if there's not rain. Taking care of a small garden requires your work and commitment. Otherwise, quite frankly, it's a waste of time. And if you have just a half-hearted effort and commitment, you might as well not even begin. Jesus in Mark 4 uses a story about farming. What's different about this parable is that he's not saying there's anything different between the amount of sunshine and rain. It's the same seed. It's the same sower. The only difference is the soils. So I like to think of this parable not as the parable of the sower, but as a parable of the soils. And he speaks mainly of the obstacles that get in the way of producing a harvest. Already in the first couple of chapters of Mark, we've had reactions to Jesus that vary among people saying he's demon-possessed. He's the Messiah. He's out of his mind. He's not even taking enough time to eat. Let's help him. This parable explains and puts in context why there is such wide and diverse reactions to Jesus Christ. But it's also an encouragement to God's people to hang in there and to listen. Be careful how we listen to the word of Christ's gospel. What is challenging in this parable is 3 out of 4 soils do not properly listen to the word of Christ. In my message, I want to look at these 4 types of soils in Christ's parable and their meanings. The first soil that Christ mentions is that the sower went out to sow the seed, and some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Christ gives this explanation of the soil in Mark 4:15, where he says, "These are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown, and when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which was sown in them." This type of response is from people who immediately reject the word of Christ. When the disciples ask Jesus about the parables in Mark 4:10, they are asking about its meaning. Jesus' response in Mark 4:11 is this: "To you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but those who are outside get everything in parables." What Jesus is saying is that the parables of the soils itself, without his explanation, would leave us wondering what he is talking about. But if we take both the parable and its explanation, we get a clear message of what he wanted to impart to us. The seed sown is the word, the message of God's kingdom, which has come in the person of Jesus Christ. So let's review what Christ has already said about this message, this word of God's kingdom, at the beginning of his ministry in Mark 1:14 and 15, where it says, "Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God, and saying, 'The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel.'" John MacArthur gives these helpful comments on this parable in his commentary, where he says, quote, Satan exploits sinful human passions. Fear of what others think, pride, stubbornness, prejudice, or various lusts. He appeals to the fallen heart's love for the pleasures of sin. He knows that people love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil, and he takes advantage of that. Then, having gained the sinner's trust and attention, he diverts the mind from the truth of the word, effectively snatching it away from the person's consciousness. This type of response is more concerned with what people will think if we align ourselves to Jesus as Lord and Messiah. They do not like where that might lead them to, and so they quickly reject the message of the gospel. They are threatened by handing control of their lives over to Jesus as Lord because they want to call the shots and have control over their lives to do and act as they please and think. And so this seed, which is sown, quickly goes away. The second soil is the response from people who have no firm root in them about the word of Christ. Jesus says in Mark 4, verses 5 and 6, "Other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away." In Israel during this time, a farmer could go out and sow seed on soil which looked good and promising. But that soil, its appearance was deceiving. This type of soil looks good on the surface, but once you go down a couple of inches, you hit a layer of thick rock, which prevented that seed from growing and blossoming. It grew up fast, but withered quickly due to its lack of depth, so that when the sun was beating down on it for a long period of time, or there was a sudden downpour of rain, it withered and died because it did not have proper roots. It did not go deep enough. It did not last because its roots were not able to get down into the soil. Because they lacked depth, they did not persevere through trials and persecution. And Jesus is very specific in that the difficulties they experienced were difficulties because of my word. This is not just garden variety difficulties. This is temptation connected to their association and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They received the word of Christ at the beginning with joy, but it did not last. Our Lord pinpoints that these individuals have no firm root in them about the message of Christ's kingdom. And so they wither away. The third type of response is about the seed which was sown among thorns. Jesus again says in Mark 4, verse 7, "Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop." Jesus' explanation of this in Mark 4, 18 is that the thorns stand for those who have heard the word, but the worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. This is weed-infested soil, which includes thorns and thistles. Thorns and thistles are useless for any agricultural purpose because they only impede any growth of what is planted, and they get in the way of growth. From Genesis 3, 17 and 19, we know that a key feature of the curse that our first parents brought upon us is that weeds grow faster than anything else. You see it. Weeds are growing up through the cement and the macadam. They're going wild. Or the flowers, or the tomatoes. They choke out whatever is in that portion of the soil. This type of response is characterized by people who allow the word of Christ to be choked out by the worries of this world, by the deceitfulness of riches and the desire of other things. John MacArthur again says in his commentary, this third type of soil represents a heart too enthralled or preoccupied with worldly matters. This person is too in love with this world, too obsessed with the cares, riches, and pleasures of this life. The values of the temporal world deluge the heart and muffle the truth of God's word. And so we live in an age which values fun, entertainment, and leisure time. Don't get me wrong, there's nothing morally wrong with having fun and having leisure time per se. But it is way off the mark to think we've been planted here on planet Earth by God just to have fun. We have gadgets and distractions to last us a lifetime, so that from sunup to sundown, all that we're engaged in is peripheral matters. We could live here 80 or 90 years and never think of what is important and why we have been placed here by God. The Word of God addresses and answers all these important questions like, who am I? Why have I been put here, and who is God? And yet we can be perpetually distracted by having fun and pursuing the trivial things of this life so that we never have time to think about anything else. It happens right now. You go home to that TV and all you're going to hear this afternoon is the news cycle of what's happening in Florida. And that continuing news coverage will be as monotonous as this if it was in the middle of January and we were having a snowstorm. And they go from Reisterstown to Towson, back to the Eastern Shore, back to Southwest Baltimore, and round it goes. There's nothing wrong with listening to that, but if you become preoccupied about those type of things day in and day out, you'll never think about God. St. Paul tells us this about the deceitfulness of riches in 1 Timothy 6, verse 10. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Money is not the root of all sorts of evil. The love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. A love which is not meant to be primary. If that becomes the focus of our lives, then we are more concerned with the gift of God rather than God, who is the giver of that gift. We fall into a trap in which we allow money to become the primary motivation and priority in life. When this happens, the pleasures of this life have choked out the word. And we have let wild weeds grow in our hearts, and we have to be on guard against that. Those are three soils which choke out, distract, wither away, and wash away the word. The fourth one is the positive response to the gospel, where Jesus tells us in Mark 4:8, other seeds fell into good soil, and they grew up and increased. They yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. Jesus' interpretation of this soil is that these are the ones who have heard the word and received it. They listen. They truly listen to God's word and the gospel. And they let God change us where we need to be changed. Where we answer the call of God's word with trust, obedience, and faithfulness to Christ's message. We also need to hear God's word for renewing our faith in his promises. We need to hear God's word so that the fruits of hearing and obeying God's word can blossom in our lives and produce 30, 60, and 100-fold in our hearts. This, I believe, shows us that even among genuine believers, there are levels of maturity, so that when a believer reaches a certain level of maturity, if he continues to attain and listen to God's word, there comes a richer and richer harvest. God tells us in Galatians 5, verses 22 through 24, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. I practiced that, so I got all nine. When you float between King James to NIV to ESV, sometimes they all got mixed together. But this is the fruit of the Spirit. So when we trust in the Word of God, this fruit is what yields as the result of us listening to the Word of the Lord. Hebrews 13, verse 15 says, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Our good works are the result and fruit of our faith in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. All of the responses of the word of Christ are in fact responses of the heart. We need to cry out to the Lord in His mercy to change us from the inside out, that we would truly listen to the word of the Lord. In all these comparisons of the soils, I am reminded again of our three spiritual enemies, of the world, the flesh, and the devil. They're all in this parable. And so we need to be a people who realize that we are engaged in a struggle, in a battle, if you will, a spiritual battle of unseen forces. But ultimately, we must cooperate with God if God's word is to grow in us. And so we are responsible to allow the Holy Spirit to deepen our commitment to Christ's word, which is able to save us from our sins, to shape our character and our priorities so that we submit to the teaching of Christ. This Christ who is revealed as the one who has the authority to forgive us of our sins. May we yield to Christ as the divine Son of God and our Lord and Savior. Let us pray. We pray in your mercy, O Lord, that we would have ears to hear this message, that by the Holy Spirit our hearts would be changed and make room for the continuing growth to be your people, to trust in your word, to repent of our sins, to change our focus where it is necessary. Open the eyes of our hearts, O Lord, to hear your word. These things we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.